Do you feel like you're getting good value from the Pulse on Human Design podcast? If so, can I ask you a favor? Head on over to the review section on your podcast player and leave us a review. It would really help us because it lets us stand out among all the podcasts that are out there. Hit the follow button too so that you're notified as soon as an episode goes live and you have what you need to build your business. Thank you. We appreciate you. My guest today is a Pinterest OG, none other than the very famous Megan Williamson. One of my favorite things about Megan is that she's Canadian, I'm not going to lie, but she also has been leveraging the power of search results, SEO, for long-term marketing success for over a decade. When I say she's one of the Pinterest OGs, I mean it. You know how some of the influencers that we follow on Instagram will have meetings with Montessori and they can bring us all of these updates about Instagram and about social media? Megan is that person for Pinterest. She's the real deal. I have worked with her personally. And today in this episode, she is dropping gold about how you can start to utilize Pinterest to give new life to the content that you're already creating outside of having a reel go viral to make you famous for 6 seconds on Instagram. This is really super juicy. Let's dive in. This is the Pulse on Human Design. All right, so welcome, Megan. I am so excited to get to chat with you today about Pinterest. Our listeners have been asking about Pinterest, and you are the end-all to be-all expert on Pinterest, in my opinion. So welcome here.
Oh, thank you, Vicky. I really appreciate that.
So can you tell me why Pinterest? What drew you into Pinterest? Where did this come from?
Well, a little bit of an accident. I was actually, so my background is as a school psychologist. I was newly graduated from grad school, living in Canada, and I had a boyfriend that was from Northern Ireland. And lo and behold, after years of being in Canada, he invited me to live first in Scotland and then Northern Ireland. And you might be thinking, like, what does this have to do with Pinterest? Well, it's how I ended up on Pinterest. So I'm a, you know, very overeducated, you know, had a great job, landed in a country where I could not get a job. And I started blogging for fun, like just, you know, as a way to journal what I was doing abroad, as a way to, I don't know, express myself and literally to like be able to do something. And it was during that time I started blogging and realizing, well, you create this blog, you have these ideas, but how do people find you? How do you grow a blog so it can create income? It was like when people started to say, like, I'm making money from blogging and I'm getting brand sponsorships and I'm getting invited to things. And I thought, well, I could do that. Like, I've read blogs for years. And so I started blogging. It was when Pinterest first emerged. And honestly, when I think about those early days, there were a few like design influencers who just mentioned, like, maybe it was on Twitter or I don't even know where I saw it, but they would talk about there's this brand new platform where you can save inspiration. And I love the idea because I was one of these people that I was like a virtual like scrapbooker. Like, I would gather all these pictures. I had a lot of time on my hands. So I would save all these pictures of things that I loved, projects, recipes, or just like beautiful color combinations. And then all of a sudden there was this new platform or app where I could create an account and save all my inspiration in one spot. And so, spoiler, the relationship did not last. I moved back to Canada. And I remember waking up one day and I went viral overnight on Pinterest and gained over 10,000 followers. And next thing I knew, I hit this huge platform. I was blogging part-time, working as a school psychologist. And some brands that I was working with were like, hey, you got some good stuff happening there on Pinterest. Can you tell us what you do? And as a good, you know, person trained in psychology, I was like, well, I can tell you what I did, but that's just me. So why don't give me a few months. And so I went out, begged a bunch of friends, bloggers, business owners, a variety of accounts. I said, give me your accounts. I think I took 8 logins. I'm trying to remember exactly. I don't want to, like, you know, tell the story wrong, but I took a bunch of accounts and started trying to grow them to figure out what worked for other people. And before I knew it, like not very, no one was talking about Pinterest. I kind of figured out what worked for everybody. And that's sort of like how I found Pinterest, or how it found me, how I kind of fell into like just, I don't know, understanding it. Like it always clicked for me. And then I had to make that next leap of like, well, I get it, but how can I make help other people with it? And then that was, you know, I think I consulted with my first client in like 2013, 2014. And now, you know, we're in 2025 and I've been doing this for years and have, you know, very luckily helped thousands of people with their Pinterest accounts. And like it's hard for me, even when I'm like painting that picture of me sitting like at my table with my laptop in Belfast, it feels like a million lifetimes ago.
I bet. So when you say back in the beginning of Pinterest, when was that exactly? When did Pinterest begin?
So it began in 2010 and it was by invitation only. So you had
Okay.
to apply. And I think I applied, and within 1 to 2 months, I got, and I still have this email, Vicky, and it's from Ben Silverman, who was the CEO. And it's like, welcome, you've been invited as a beta member. And I still have that invitation. And it just has like one or two liners, like a place to share inspiration, to curate inspiration, like happy pinning, something like that. And yeah, and it just like quickly spiraled, kind of like it just kind of took on a life of its own. When I think back to the old Pinterest, I really feel like it's like my roots in the old model of social media. It was about like being a tastemaker and like curating valuable resources, adding in my own, and it kind of felt like this like dip into who people were that felt very private. And what's really funny is a lot of people say now, like, well, Pinterest is so different and what we know about it. And yes, there's like the strategy, how we use it is different. And obviously, it's much more complex than it used to be. But I think like the best Pinterest accounts are some that kind of are rooted in that old idea. Like when you build value and you build out interests and things that can be of value to your audience as a business owner or as a creator, whatever, you know, term you identify with, I think that's where we see something magic happen on Pinterest.
Okay, I have other questions, but I want to go with this one for a second because I want to
Okay.
know what accounts are fun for you to follow.
Oh, this is a good question. So I find a lot of what I interact with now is, so I seek out some accounts that I loved back in the day because like there's like Schoolhouse Electric. I don't know if you know that company. It's an American company that had like, I really love vintage things. So I would look for brands that carried beautiful vintage items or replica vintage. So there are some that I actively seek out because I still love them. I would say nowadays, a lot of what I do, my account is very diluted for when I do like student audits and I'm looking for different keywords, but it tends to be rooted in whenever I want to try something new. And that's actually a really good perspective, is that that is the mindset where people are like, I'm doing something new, I want to try something new. Or there's a new version of myself. I even have my own board called like Megan 2.0, sort of like, who am I now, right? Like, who have I evolved into be? And who am I now that my children are a little bit older, now that I'm at a different stage in my life? And so I think that that, as a business owner, that is like what's really interesting about Pinterest. So I would say, like, I follow so many like people who are just doing different things and bringing that value to Pinterest. So whether it's beauty or food or even things related to my business, or I look for a lot of like what you would say is like core. I can be very inspired by a picture. Right? Like it might sound like it's not a big deal, but it's like a color combination or the way like the typography looks. So I probably am hard to pin down in terms of what I personally am attracted to, but I feel like that's where like the dreamer version of myself goes to find things that inspire me.
Okay, so you said when you first started, that you had a pin that went like, what is going viral on Pinterest? What does that even, I can't even fathom what that would be, going viral on
Yeah.
Pinterest.
So, well, I had two things happen. My account went viral, so I would gain like tens of thousands of followers overnight. And so Pinterest was recommending me as a top account to follow. And that's how I came to come up with. I have 128,000 followers. And then that lent to brands wanting to work with me as an influencer. But my own content went viral. I wish I had access to my original Google Analytics, because what happened was I was happily blogging, putting my messaging out into the world, creating my unique content. And one day I woke up. And like literally, I thought my Google Analytics were broken because it suggested that I had had over 15,000 visitors visit my website, my little blog, in one day. And what would be normal would be like a few hundred in a day if I was lucky. And so I was like, 15,000. So of course, back in the day, the old Google Analytics, you could see very easily where what your referral sources were. And it was Pinterest, not just Pinterest, but a single pin. And so the biggest pinner to this day, she has one of the biggest Pinterest accounts. She was just a regular woman. I think her name is like Rosie or something. Rosie pinned one of my DIY projects to her Pinterest account. And that single pin sent over 15,000 people, like 15,000 sessions in a 24-hour time period to my little blog that, like, my relatives read.
And what I love about that is that that pin will continue to drive traffic for the rest of time. Not like an
Oh, it
Instagram
did.
reel. It's like 5 seconds of fame and then you're done, even if you go viral.
Yeah, and that's what a lot of like people who spend a lot of time on Pinterest will say, that it can be often your older content, like your content, and I'm not just meaning like 6 months ago, like things from a year ago, 5 years ago. During the height of my Pinterest agency, I supported a lot of full-time content creators. So people who had been blogging for 7 years, 8 years. And so I saw behind the curtains on all of their Google Analytics and in-depth numbers. And like oftentimes, our highest traffic drivers were pins that weren't necessarily pretty, but were high value, what were very helpful. And they could be from 3 years ago, 2 years ago, 6 years ago. And it was still driving the bulk of their traffic to that day, which is pretty incredible. And I think that's where, like, when people are like, what can Pinterest do for me, Megan? Like, what should I be on Pinterest? I think because I've seen it do that for so many businesses, that's where it gets really exciting, about what that can look like, because so many of us just don't even know. Like, you don't realize, like, wait, I can have content that allows people to discover me for years? No, really?
So if someone wants to start with Pinterest, I know that you teach Pin Potential and we're going to talk about that, but if someone wants to start with Pinterest today, what's the best piece of advice?
What I would say is, it's funny because I just ran a workshop and I kind of had to do the same thing where it was like, what are the top three things that I would say? So what I'll make some general assumptions. You're a business owner, you have something you sell, or you have some way that you have monetized and that you're making money. So what I would love to suggest to people is that you quickly look at your content, and what is your content that's always popular or does well for you? So you can look at, and people often think, like, I'm going to say it has to be a blog. It doesn't have to be a blog, but I do love when people create long form content. I know you're a writer yourself and you love blog content, but not everyone does. But like, look at your blog posts, look at your landing pages on your website. Do you have anything that is like always been popular and really does well for you to attract new people to you? Maybe it's a podcast episode. Maybe it's a viral TikTok video or YouTube video. Whatever it is, I want people to look at their top 10 pieces of content, okay, of all time, the last, or even just the last few years, and start there. So that is already content that's proven itself to be very helpful, to be valuable or practical, and to give people sort of a glimpse of what it's like in your world, to be like, in your subject matter expertise, and create pins. So when we talk about pins, you can create images or videos that lead people to that long format content. And so don't, like, it doesn't have to be perfect. It doesn't have to be perfectly strategic, obviously. I think that just starting to do it and sharing that content to Pinterest is like that first mini step that I always recommend to people, because I'm not really, I'm the kind of person where, like, I don't want to sit and have a debate whether people should use Pinterest or not. That's not a good use of my time. Come to me once you're like, hey, I think this is a good opportunity for me, or I've already seen some amazing return. Like, some of my stuff is driving traffic that I shared a while ago. And I hear that a lot from people who were like, maybe 3 years ago tried Pinterest and they're coming back to it. I don't really want to sit and, convince somebody of something that they're not so sure of themselves. So, but what I always think is, like, start with the kind of like low-hanging fruit of your top performing content and translate that to really strong visuals that show us what it's about, and using clear text. Pinterest is the type of platform where people are making decisions. It's a search engine, so you need to provide the context, the cues, the t like those subtle SEO, triggers that let somebody who's never met you before know what your piece of content is about. I always say that, like, when people find a Pinterest pin, they think, like, what's in it for me? What can I learn from this? Do I need this? And so you kind of have to ask yourself, like, what can I do to make it really clear to my ideal, client, customer, reader, follower, to know exactly what they're looking at very quickly?
Okay, and this might be a little bit harder to answer, but I know that you can answer all the
Please.
things. What makes a, you said really clear, really something visuals. And I know that varies by industry, but
Yeah, it does. What I would say is, you have to think it's a visual search engine. So what happens is every image and video is scanned. Okay. So it's scanned by very advanced technology that wants to know what it's looking at. So what we want to do is we want to create pins that visually show our audience what our content is about. And I'll just say it, like, that's very difficult for people like you and I, right? Like, we're in this space where we share knowledge and information. So it might be very different for, like, a dog trainer whose photos are like of a puppy on a leash, like looking at a treat, right? Like, that has a strong visual cue. So how we can clarify that is by adding text overlay. What I would recommend is think about your visuals of, like, what is going to stop somebody in their scroll, right? Is it going to be like a confusing visual? Is it going to be the text overlay that speaks to them? Or maybe it's going to be bright, colorful, like maybe everybody in the industry uses purple and yellow. So your pins are going to be gray and green. And then I always say to people, like, look at what's happening in your industry. And sometimes people will make the argument for, like when I came on the scene and started my own business, all Pinterest marketers were using white, bright websites, which I quite like as well. Like, I'm a minimalist person, but it was like rose gold and pink. And, like, that's not me. I love wearing the color black. I often am wearing tie-dye or bright patterns. And I felt very like I didn't fit in with the, like, look, like this, like, rosy, beautiful cursive font. Like, it just wasn't me. So I went with visuals that were like teal and kind of like purpley and blues, because those were colors I personally liked. And I felt like my visuals just looked different than everybody else who was like, what were they called? Like, the boss babes of the
Yeah, they're
early
still called
online.
that.
Right. But, like, that early emergence of, like, coaches and online marketing and service providers, subject matter experts, like, that was like the look, right? Like, that little, like, those little jackets that everybody wore. And I was kind of like, well, I feel like I'm not like them. Like, my husband and I wear a lot of black. We drink a lot, I just, I'm a little bit different. I sometimes swear. I sometimes, like, I feel a little bit edgier, maybe, is the, I don't know if that's even the right word to use, but I just didn't feel like I fit in with that group. And so I think when we think about the Pinterest feed, look at what you're seeing for your subject, like, whatever niche you're in, or whatever it is, like, look at what other people are doing. And it's funny because I hosted a Pinterest marketing summit in 2020, and I interviewed this wonderful guy from the Caribbean, and he was fairly new in the Pinterest marketing world, but he had really great ideas about design. So when he had clients, he would design pins. He would do a search for, sorry, I just watched a tree limb fall outside of my window. Did you see my eyes? Wow, that tree just lost a limb, and it just Fell down.
That's a sign, I'm sure, for us of something.
I'll note the time at
Yeah.
2:57. So, pardon me for that interruption. But what he did was, and I thought this was so genius and simple, is he would look up whatever, whatever the niche was that his client was in, and he would put a little mock-up of his own client's pin in the feed for those search results so that he could, like, so he said he noticed a client's niche was all, like, they were in like the healthy enviro space. So it was a lot of green, a lot of white. So he designed pins that were like black and red because they would just visually pop and
Yeah.
stand out. So when I talk about, sort of like thinking about how you can stand out in the feed, how you can make it really clear about what you're talking about, what they're going to get if they leave, if they save your pin or click on your pin, those are all just smart things to do to make it really, really concise and clear to your audience about what's in it for them.
Okay, so the other question that's a follow-up to that then is branded versus unbranded.
Oh gosh, this is always a hard one. Okay, so I have, and maybe this has to do with my profile, that I'm gonna present the options to people and they can decide what is best for them. If you do branded looks, I think it helps you create, it helps you save time and be more efficient and more productive. People often struggle with like, what does that Pinterest scheduling system look like? And how, what does my workflow look like? And how can I save time? Where people waste the most time is on their Pinterest visuals, like their images. They're fussing over like their pin designs. And so what I notice, like as someone who's worked with so many people, is if you can create templated looks and have you already, kind of front load your energy. And I used to do this with my clients. When I onboarded a new client, we would agree upon 15 various looks for their Pinterest pins. And so for the first week, we would have all this back and forth and move the logo and, no, we want text in the middle and okay, make it more like this. So we would fuss more in the beginning, but then it meant for my the 3 years that they were clients, every month we could bang out those images because we front loaded the activity. And I think even for small business owners, for people who are managing their own Pinterest accounts, front load looks that you like. And you can, I don't really mind about having branded pins. I think if you are going to be unbranded, Pinterest is probably one of the only platforms that truly doesn't care. It does
Okay.
not care. What I will say is the benefits is it kind of helps remove some of the decision fatigue you might have when you're doing design, especially if design is not your thing, not mine. So I don't want people to waste too much time creating their pins. Two, I think that depending on your niche or industry, people do start to recognize your look. I would say I do have, like, I have a fairly well-established audience, but my style is distinct. So when people steal my design, I see it in my own feed and then I report that intellectual property theft. Because, like, it just stands out. And I think, like, I even hired a coach once. So I have my certification in NLP and business coaching, and I originally found my business coach on Pinterest, and I remember saving her pins like years and years ago before I even had, like in the early stages that I didn't know. And fast forward 2 years, I saw something on Instagram and I visually recognized it. So somewhere in my brain, I was like, I've seen that before, and I realized it was the same person who I had found 3 years previous on Pinterest, but never, I kind of forgot about her, to be honest. And then by Christmas, I spent $7,000 to join her business program. And so I wonder, will we ever know? Like somewhere in my brain, I knew that I had seen her before. And it's probably because her looks were a little bit brand, she had like a branded vibe. So yeah, those are my arguments. So if you want to save yourself time, having branded looks will save you time, but I would say if you're okay with it, experimenting with different colors. What I focus on is creating clear, concise images that we know what we're looking at. That's way more important than having like everything look the same.
Okay. So I'm not a Pinterest. I do have my stuff on Pinterest, but I am not a visual person at all. So I struggle with seeing the value in Pinterest. I know it's valuable as an entrepreneur. I get that, but it's just not something I'm drawn to. I can't, for the life of me, fathom finding a coach on Pinterest. I'm like, huh, how does
Oh,
somebody
interesting.
actually go and hire someone from
Well,
Pinterest?
let me tell you, right?
Please
Because I
do.
think, yeah, because I also have had people whom I've worked with closely. So, a student of mine, Amy, she joined my program and she was a business coach, but also offered social media services. So that's how she found her way to me. She wanted to learn more about Pinterest and she got a $10,000 business coaching client from Pinterest. So I would say that her story and my story are very similar. So it was like, I think I must have been engaging with content that was sort of like those early foundations of building a business, learning about yourself, maybe, some of the things actually we were talking about, right? Like expressing who you are if you don't feel like you fit in with sort of like what other people are like in your space. And I stumbled upon her content through some early top of funnel stages regarding business and maybe coaching. And I read her blog. So I would have read, she would have pinned things from her blog. Okay, great. Found her. But then at that time, I probably wasn't actively subscribing to emails or following people on Instagram related to my business. And so that's where I kind of lost the trail. That said, I read stuff, got interested. And then when I was sort of like later reintroduced to her, it like clicked, right? Like, oh, I've read her stuff before. But then I was at a different place in my business. And knew I ne wanted more skills and more, I wanted more official training to help me with things that I thought would help me grow my business, a skill set. And so I read more of her blog content. I subscribed to her email list. The funny thing is, though, if we looked at, if we were going to get very analytical, we would often go, well, let's look at the analytics. But I originally touched her Pinterest pins in 20, what would that be, like 2017? But I hired her. It was in the I paid for her program in December 2019. So that's not going to show up in the attribution. But my first touch of her business was Pinterest, then her website, then her Instagram, then I joined her email list. And actually, Amy's story is very similar, that when she asked, so the client filled out a like a inquiry form on her website, and in her inquiry form, and I recommend anyone who, like, if you don't already do this and people like can hire you or even want to consult with you, ask how they found you. And not everyone will remember, but in this particular case, Amy shared, in her intake form or her contact form, it said, how did you find me? And the woman said originally on Pinterest. So the woman read her articles, saved her pins, read her articles on her website, joined Amy's email list, and then contacted, and I don't know what the timeline was, but then eventually contacted Amy via her contact form and said, like, I've been following you for a while. I originally found you on Pinterest. I started reading your emails and reading your blog, and I want to work with you as a business coach. And she was a $10,000 business coaching client. And so I think that trajectory is quite normal for higher touch programs, in that Pinterest likely won't convert it, but it can be the first touch point.
And you often say that Pinterest is the place people go when they're thinking about making a change or when they're thinking of buying something or they're thinking of exploring something. So we have to think about that in what we're saying in our pins and the type of content we're driving them to.
Exactly. It's very like those early emerging stages. I think there's a few reasons why. One, it's information based, and we're expecting to find content and plan and curate it and come back to it. We're expecting to be led to long format content. And I think this is what's so different. I've been doing a lot of deep thinking about this. It's funny, like I've been doing this for 10 years, and like every year there'll be like new things that occur to me. And I feel like it's this idea that we know, especially now, there's been so many conversations in marketing, how things have changed and how our audience has changed and how do we consume content. We scrutinize who we invest with more. Lots of people have been burned. And I think that somebody, I saw this great post and it was like, the scammers never use long format content because they aren't actually knowledgeable. They can never do a long video. They can never do a long podcast or a long blog post because they have gone viral or created growth through these like short form, bite-sized tidbits. And it's because they don't actually have a deep level of expertise. And so I think generally people are starting to feel like that. Like we know there's a lot of people that are smoke and mirrors, and we want a way to quietly get to know your values, your point of view, the way that you think. We want to be able to sort of like think about even a restaurants, right? Like we don't just go to restaurants often anymore. We look at their menu online. We watch a few TikToks of people who have been there to see what they ordered. I did this. Like I went somewhere and I had never had a sandwich, and it was kind of like viral online. So I went and I like looked online, like what does everybody order here? And like I wasn't even in the front door yet, right? But I wanted to kind of know because they had a huge menu. If I was going to spend, extra money on this like silly sandwich, I wanted to get the right one. I think that we, and like I quietly was kind of making decisions before I even walked in the door. They didn't even know I was going to be a customer that day. And I think that our audiences are the same. They want to have us in their ear. They want to watch our videos or be part of our YouTube community. They want to read our emails. They want to read our blog posts and safely get to know, like, answer, is this person for me? And so Pinterest is so different because it's literally saying every post can lead to something that's offsite, a webinar, a email list, a YouTube video, a podcast episode, a long format written blog post. There are so many options. And so when I think about that, like Pinterest will help bring people to you, but then your other content needs to do the heavy lifting, to build that relationship, to build that connection or nurture people.
How often should people be pinning?
Great question. So it really depends on what your own con it's like I can't often answer that question unless I know how much content you're creating. What I will know say is that recently I was doing some digging. It always shows that you have to like sometimes things get brought out and you would never know they were there, hidden in like the depths of the Pinterest best practices that they share on their own in their own. And I always recommend that if you're just getting started with Pinterest, check out their Pinterest for Business resources and Pinterest for Creators resources. They're excellent. So nestled away, hidden away in one of their articles, I found a new section, and it actually says that your Pinterest account will thrive when you add one new thing a week. So what they mean by that is like n a new URL or something that you've never shared to Pinterest before. So this could be a video, it could be a podcast episode, it could be a blog post, it could be a product page, it could be a landing page. It doesn't, but they say, and that they've never said that before. There's never been like, we can make some guesses. Like we see optimal growth when you're sharing, one or two things a week. But what they're saying is it will thrive and grow at a steady rate when you're sharing one new original piece of content a week.
So that feels a lot more doable than 17 reels a day in the hopes that,
100%. 100%. And you're putting out 12 to trials. You're repurposing to TikTok. The thing is that different platforms can do different things for you. And I'm never going to do the like, it's Instagram versus. I personally have always struggled with Instagram. I understand how it works. I grew a client's account from 20,000 to 75,000. We had an engaged community. It was wonderful. I know what to do. It doesn't mean that I want to do it. It doesn't mean that that's the type of life that I lead. I prefer, it's so funny because no one knows what our conversation was before this. I prefer, and I'm sure maybe you can shed some light on that, but I prefer to value my in-person experiences. I like to say that who you experience online is who I am in real life. But to me, I would never want to live my life and people can't see me because it's a podcast. But like I've been places where people are experiencing a concert. A sightseeing through their phones, through their iPad. And I have small children. They're watching me. I am a life first. If I want to capture a picture, I would never take away from the moment just so I could have a picture. I'd rather have it seared into my brain. And so I find I'm always investing in search-based things that are kind of going to give me return for a long period of time, whether it be SEO. Pinterest. I've really moved into trying to grow YouTube because it's also very search friendly. I had a baby a few years ago, so some of my last videos were when I was heavily pregnant, but I just like things where people can find me for years to come, and that's what Pinterest offers. And it's not like it's just different than Instagram, right? I think that we can get caught in like the sort of the trudge of like this is what we have to do, but you don't have to do it. There are other ways, especially if it doesn't align to your personality.
And I think that's the thing. A lot of creators and entrepreneurs are finding that they just can't stomach the way that social media is now, and that we're realizing that we don't want to be on our phones that much. So Pinterest is different in that way.
Everybody has that moment. And whether, I don't want to like dredge up things that could be like triggering, but it's like a moment where you think life is short, right? Whether it's that, you have a health scare or someone has a scare or something, you lose somebody. It's kind of like, wow, life is really short. Am I going to turn around and say, well, I had three reels go viral? Like nobody cares. And I think that also the memories that you create, it's sort of like, do you want everyone to remember you as the friend that went to the cottage and you spent the whole weekend creating reels? Like, no, I'm the one that, like, I want to be down, staying up late, looking at the stars, counting, catching rainbows. And, it's like, I think too, I'm just also realizing, like, I have a job as an online marketing expert where I could be online all day, right? Like, we could market, you can know all the things you need to do. But I think that that's why I've always come back. So somebody recently asked me, like, Megan, you could probably teach all these different facets of marketing, but you stay close to Pinterest. And I'm like, yeah, that's a really interesting question. Like, why Pinterest? And it actually has to do with my background in psychology and that I've always been fascinated by this idea of, and originally it was in children and now it's in business owners, of resiliency and creating things that kind of like protect us. And I think that I came to this like connection where I think that the reason why I love helping people and teaching people about Pinterest and helping them grow their Pinterest accounts is because by working on Pinterest, you focus on your content marketing. When you create really good content that attracts the right listener, the right buyer, the right client, the right person to your world, it's sort of like it builds in this layer of protection, right? That even if we're going through economic difficulty, even if you have a launch that bombs or you get sick, or like me, you grew your family and you kind of need to like chill, right? You can't show up in the way you want to, even if you're very ambitious, that it's okay because you've built a marketing system, a marketing or content ecosystem that thrives even when you're not actively engaging with it every single day, right? Like we plant an apple tree, we take care of it, it grows strong roots, and that apple tree, that orchard will give you apples for years and years and years and years, right? And I think there is this idea that you can foster resiliency in your marketing by using content and platforms like Pinterest that reward original high quality content. I feel like I just gave my like TED talk. Like I'm up on my
Yeah, that's good.
soapbox.
We're here for it. We're here for it. So I took Megan's Pin Potential course, the old course. I know you've revised it since, but I thought it would be fun to check my analytics. And I'm not by any means doing a good job of it, but I checked my analytics this morning, and I know there are different analytics that you would check as well. But just for our listeners, I thought it was interesting. I probably have not put a pin on, just Megan, close your ears for a second.
Okay, earmuffs.
In like maybe I'm really behind. I just hired a new VA this
It's
week to
okay.
help
No,
out, but
don't ever feel like you have to say that. Don't worry.
it's probably been 4 months since I've pinned anything,
Okay.
and my analytics say that I have had 6,000 visits this month and 403 interactions, and I haven't done a damn thing with it. And I'm like, holy Hannah, I'm very thankful for that.
Yeah, that's
So, and
cool.
thankful for you. It's really, really cool. Like, it works. And the other thing that I like about that is that when I am pinning, it's not that big of a job. Like, I think I bought your course and then I didn't even log in for like 6 months. You were so gracious to get me on a call and be like, what's going on here, girl? Because I don't understand the platform, or didn't understand the platform before you. But
It doesn't take that long. Like, I'm already doing the long form content because I'm like all
Yeah.
over the long form content. So to do up 10 pins to go to those things and schedule them out is nothing. And
No,
now
and
with
having,
ChatGPT, sorry.
oh my gosh, it's so easy.
Yeah.
Because here's the thing, people are like, I get it, where like places where you create intimacy and community and personal connections, you want it to be you and you want it to be, you know, like people want that. Listen, Pinterest is a search engine. If you can save time using ChatGPT, create like banging out pins, and you've already created long form content. So
Yeah.
what you're just doing is allowing that content to have new life breathed into, like breathe, bro. I'm like, wait a sec, I'm
I
having
got
a,
you.
I'm a
Yeah.
first language speaker, but I'm struggling with the English language. But like, there's this idea that like sometimes we create content and it's like, okay, babe, like send you into the world. And
Yeah.
I think like how that amazing blog post is, even if it's from 2 years ago, is still so valuable. And Pinterest allows people to discover it every single day. If you are able to make the time, like you said, to create 10 pins, use ChatGPT. I even have like a free prompts guide that you could take my prompts, put them into your own chat account or other whatever AI tool you like, and quickly create keyword-rich pin titles and pin descriptions. Bang it out. Say thank you to me in 6 months, right? Like, I think that's it, though, that it also is like a bit like a slow burn, right? So
Yeah.
even the efforts that you did a year ago are coming back to benefit you now. And yeah, I hope that those numbers make you want to get back into it. And but also, it's the type of thing that I do it too. And that's why I don't want you to be embarrassed or say like, oh, you know, I feel bad. We can put on your earmuffs because I'm the same. Like, I know I should do certain things. And sometimes you make choices in a day, right? Do you have capacity for it? Yes, no. I have to say that I personally came up with the mantra, like, or I didn't come up with it, but I'm applying it to myself that I'm treating my own Pinterest account how I tell my students and clients too. And same thing, my numbers are beautiful and it's so nice. And I'm
Yeah.
like, finally, but it's easy to like prioritize everybody else's business when you are someone who helps others. But sometimes you have to make that time for yourself.
And it pays off in the long run. Do
It
you have
does.
capacity for two more questions?
Of course, I do.
Okay, so I'm curious because you're launching something right now, I think.
Yes.
Okay, and I'm curious because I know you use Instagram and you use your email list and you use your Pinterest,
Yeah.
but how has Pinterest worked into your launch strategy? I know you didn't start yesterday pinning things towards your launch. What does that look like?
No. So yeah, I don't mind sharing that at all. I actually love talking about this stuff. I actually just got a Voxer earlier today from a friend of mine who's a launch expert, and she was like, wait a second, I see what you're doing. So I'll share it with you. So I use Pinterest to drive what I call lead acquisition or audience growth between my launches. So I'm sharing my lead magnets, I'm sharing high value blog content, and the idea is that they're leaving the platform and touching my website. When that happens, I do run meta remarketing ads. And so that means people, now not everyone, like with the privacy changes, but I can track people who initially discovered me 6 months ago, 9 months ago, you know, before this launch, that I can retarget them, that I'm running a free training. So I do a free Pinterest challenge 3 times a year. So I use Pinterest to generate new audience growth, people discovering me, and then hopefully people joining my email list between every launch. Now, this particular launch, I don't generally recommend Pinterest ads for things that are time oriented, but I approach my own marketing with a huge amount of experimentation, and Pinterest ads are constantly improving. And so I use mine for general discovery and email list growth between launches. Again, low budget, just like always looking to keep my knowledge up to date. And recently I turned on my Pinterest ads for email subscribers to join my challenge, and they are going like gangbusters.
Nice.
Like, and I would say that my I no longer I used to provide do consulting with Pinterest ads, and I just couldn't keep up with both. So my first thing is always organic, but what I kind of always looking at is just trying new things. And they have really, really the ads platform has advanced quite a bit, But what I also would say is that my niche is so small. So, like the ad campaigns for clients or people I've consulted with, e-commerce coaches, and they would have very, very big ad budgets. I'm saying, like, right now, I've spent $100 and probably had five times the number of leads that
Oh
I'm
my
getting from
God.
my Meta ads. It's actually, and I only can tell you this because I use UTM parameters. And when it first happened, I was like, wait, those UTM parameters are my Pinterest ads. Like, I kind of saw them as just being part of the entire ecosystem, but they're converting and they're
Wow.
converting incredibly well. And I know I'm not the only person, but I always expect that my pond is very small. My pond is on Pinterest, but my own niche is very small on Pinterest compared to other niches. And so that is how I use Pinterest. So I do lead generation, people reading my blog content. I do a lot of repurposing, and I always just look at it like, I have a pin that I created. This is a great example. I created a pin a year ago, January. So almost like a year and 4 months ago or whatever it is. And it's about creating, it's like a Pinterest for beginners series that for TikTok. I repurposed it. I happened to create a blog post on it, and it's going viral right now on Pinterest on its own. So that was a video I created in January 2024 that's going viral right now on Pinterest organically. And it's like driving a ton of website traffic. And then they're being retargeted by my Meta ads.
Living the dream over there. Look at you.
Yeah, I love this
Jeez.
stuff though. I love this
Yeah.
stuff. Like, I guess I'm just always thinking, like, how do these things work together? It's like, it's an example of like it starts with Pinterest, but it's about all these other things. And I know my audience, I know my funnel very well. So it's sort of easy for me to, and I'm also okay. I think that's what's a little bit different is that when I look at paid advertising, I think anything, it's like investing, it's like a risk. So I'm always like, I say to myself, like, if I spent $500 on ads, would I be okay if I made zero money from it?
Exactly.
You have to release yourself from that. Nobody owes you anything. And I always just look at things, and I run ads all the time. And so, and every time it's like slightly different, right? I love this stuff. I could talk about it all day.
I wish we could. The last question is, well, I think it's the last question, unless something else comes up, but what do you see the future of SEO searching,
Oh
Pinterest,
my
all of
God.
these things? Where are we going with all of this
Okay,
stuff?
can I tell you? So I got invited into a very advanced mastermind. I can't say all the details, but it was a very, very, very well-established entrepreneurs with successful businesses between $4 and $10 million. Their coach wanted me to come in because at the upper echelons of people who are advanced marketers, there's a lot of chat about how much search has changed. So I'm going to share my Coles notes with you. What we're seeing, and even if everyone who's just listening goes and does this, go onto Google and search something. The experience is incredibly different. We have AI snippets. What's ranking in search has changed significantly. We have the Google helpful update, helpful content update. A year ago in 2024, spring 2024, we started to hear about the emergence of the importance of helpful content, but also social content. So what that means is Google is ranking content. So these old websites that were like SEO powerhouses were all of a sudden being crushed. Like their traffic just walked out the door and never came back. And what it's led to, and again, like, I'm not an SEO expert, but I spend a lot of time looking at search marketing, Pinterest, what I call social search, is that as of last spring, and I actually predicted this because I hosted a summit on it in the winter, is that social search was going to become more and more important for business owners. So making your social content, especially short form video, SEO friendly. And what we've seen emerge from Google is that now if you create short form video that's SEO friendly, it can rank in search and it helps your overall authority, rank, domain, like, all those things that you want as a business owner. So here's the thing. A lot of people, you said it yourself, I don't remember your exact words. A lot of us and a lot of people who have been in business for a long time are really over the constant changes, the rapid changes. One day it's try Instagram reel trials. Okay, now post your stories, but let the story expire and then post another one and then publish a reel 5 minutes later and use this trending audio. Who has the time for that other than an Instagram marketing expert? So there is this idea that a lot of us, I don't know, like we know what to do, we could be doing it, but we're choosing not to. But search has been a very, very powerful tool for growth, but search has changed. So it's not just about blog posts that are SEO friendly. So what we need to look at now as we look forward, as search changes, is how can you create content that sends signals to Google that you are a high quality, authority in that particular topic. And one that is super, super simple that has been one from the very beginning is Pinterest. So Pinterest has the ability, if you don't want to be creating short form social media content for YouTube, TikTok, or Instagram, which is helpful, if you don't want to, what you can do is Pinterest sends those same SEO signals that those do to help your blog and your website rank higher for your subject matter expertise. So that is where things are going. We're seeing it emerge. Also, that is a factor for AI-based searches. So those AI snippets, if you want people reaching out to you saying, I found you on ChatGPT, this is what ChatGPT is also looking at as it emerges. Although I would say that I've looked at people who are in the SEO, expert niche, and they say ChatGPT only accounts for 4% of online searches right now. Although you would
Right
think
now.
based on, you would think that that's still like Google is still king, but like people are going, like I know even just people in my circles who say, like, well, I go to ChatGPT now for searches. I don't want to use Google. So I think things are changing. And honestly, Pinterest plus a blog or Pinterest plus a podcast or any content you're publishing on your website is just an easy way for you to evolve with the way that content is now being ranked.
Oh, I love it all. I love it all. So, is there anything that I didn't ask you or that you think, "Oh my gosh, if I could just say this one more thing?"
Oh gosh, no. I think I do really like as time goes on, it's like really about this idea of like your content ecosystem. How do you stay competitive in an ever-changing world? How do you create good growth from the amazing content you've already created? And I just think that like Pinterest is emerging as this also this really like optimistic place, since in the last 6 months, we've seen social media habits change dramatically due to economic instability, political instability. And I think that the funny thing is that they were reporting that numbers were down across social media, with the exception of Pinterest. So people go to Pinterest to find hope, to find inspiration, to learn something new. And so when I think about it and where it's going, like for me, I know it's not sexy. I know it's not flashy. And it's not the like, oh, my business went viral on TikTok and I got 500 orders. But some of us, like that's a unicorn. We know that that's an outlier. But it's like, how do we do things that are sustainable and will serve us in the future? And that's really like, I hope that that's the voice that I bring. Now, I do have to think that the only thing that we haven't touched upon is my profile and how that might factor into things. You said that your audience is always interested in what people are and how that influences what they do. But I think that's the only thing we haven't talked about.
So Megan, we think, is a 5-1 generator. She's got a little bit of difficulty around her birth time, so I'm going to play with this a little bit after the episode. But we were having a conversation before we went live and talking about how this fifth line profile has played out in your life. I also hear you using that one line. You're talking a lot about, "I found this in the archives of Pinterest in this, it's a special place that nobody knows about, and I went in there and I like it's so one line. It's all the
it?
information.
See,
Oh
I
yeah, I'm
don't
going to do
even.
all the research. Yeah, all
Oh,
that
that's
stuff."
exciting me. It's funny because I've always been very interested, but like to me, it is like I don't totally understand. And actually, when you and I first met, like I was like very like, oh, this is cool. And I did think I was a manifest generator because of like a lot of the things that are described. I was like, yeah, that seems like me. But yeah, I'm interested in all these things. I'm very open and receptive to them. I think that oftentimes when I do different profiles, like I've done, outside of that human design, I've done like, pro profiles for personality. I had an HR person that we did, I forget which personality assessment it was. And it was so enlightening because, you know, how I paired with employees or people that I work. My husband and I are like oil and water. It's funny because we're so complementary, but we don't attack problems in the same way. And so we get frustrated. And actually, he would probably laugh at hearing your description of me, that he was like, Megan, like, you know, you all, it's always about being right.
Oh.
Like, is what you said,
And
right?
what's
When we were
wrong with
talking about
that?
powerful conviction. Yeah, very, very powerful conviction. But, you know, I think that this, I always just see these things as tools, right? To kind of like better understand ourselves. And I love, love, love finding out those things.
Well, you'll find out more after this because I'll be playing around with your birth time to see if we can figure something more out. And once we land on a chart for Megan, I will pop it in the show notes without the birth information, just the picture of your chart so that
Thank
others
you.
can take a look at it. And the last thing that I would like to have you do is share with people where they can find you. So this at the time of this recording, you may be kind of through your launch or at the very tail end of your launch when this airs, but I still want them to be able to find you. So
Yeah, so you can just look up my name, Megan Williamson. I'm Megan A. Williamson across most social media. Now, I do run the free Pinterest challenge 3 times a year. So even if you listen to this later, you can just come to my website or send me a message and I'll tell you when the next one is. But I generally run them May, September, and January. And those are like, it's 4 days of live, free, chaotic training. I always say only chaotic because I teach a lot in a short amount of
yeah.
time. And then when the challenge wraps up, I do always offer the opportunity for people to join the course. And the course is my flagship offer where we construct your Pinterest strategy and there's coaching. And it's just been going super well. But if people are interested, just reach out. I have other free resources they can check out in the meantime to get started with Pinterest. And otherwise, I just hope that everyone comes away from this with this, like, you know, kind of refreshed perspective or POV on what Pinterest can do for them.
Well, thank you for being here. I'm just going to give a shameless plug. So, if you
Please.
get into Megan's world, or when you get into Megan's world, you will find her to be incredibly real, probably one of the most real entrepreneurs that you have ever dealt with. And when I say that I bought her course and never logged in and heard from her, like, well, let's just get on a call. And like, you're like, no, bring your VA. We're going to figure this out. And like, figured it out with me. This is
Yeah.
not a $10,000 course I bought, but it's like really her.
No.
And in your coaching calls and in your Facebook group, like it's you in there. Yes, you have other
Yeah.
coaches, but like you're in there and you're actually caring and being real with people. So
Yeah.
like, well worth the money. Definitely. Well, I've bought other
Thank you.
Pinterest programs and never done them either, but you were like, no, that 3410 of yours is like, the
We're
conviction
doing
is here.
it.
We're doing this. You're not
I'm
getting out
bringing
of
you
this.
in. Yeah, I'm gonna bring you out of it. And I really do think, like, from the beginning, like, I know I can have the biggest impact if I can talk to you and I can hear your unique, like, hang-ups, where you're getting stuck. And that is really the thing that's different about the course is I really think it includes an implementation and coaching period. If you buy on the first day, you get a one-to-one bonus with me, which is what you and I had.
So
And
worth it.
I think that having that chance to like talk privately and say like, okay, where are you getting? And again, like whether it's in a group format or one-to-one, I just want people to feel like I want you to do the thing. And even if it's not how we think it's going to happen, we can always adjust. Like, why are we trying? We can't all fit into these shoe boxes. And I really do think that's what makes it so different. And then actually, as a new thing, since you were in the program, we've implemented AI assistance throughout the course to help you at every point where you might get stuck. And the AI assistants are trained by me so that even if you're like, well, I'm shy, I can't come to the calls, you still have a version of me that can help you move forward and get that thing done. And I think like now is like a perfect time. But obviously, you know, I appreciate you saying those things about me. I really do care. Sometimes I do think it does, you know, it's not the easy route, but I know that I can sleep peacefully at night knowing I did everything I could to support the people who are in my world and who take that leap to trust me as a coach or as a marketing expert.
Well, thank you for being here. I appreciate you. And
Thank
I encourage you
you.
as listeners to reach out.
Do you feel like you're getting good value from the Pulse on Human Design podcast? If so, can I ask you a favor? Head on over to the review section on your podcast player and leave us a review. It would really help us because it lets us stand out among all the podcasts that are out there. Hit the follow button too so that you're notified as soon as an episode goes live and you have what you need to build your business. Thank you. We appreciate you.